You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Today is a bonus episode where we are picking back up our book club pick that we put a pause on around the Q4 of last year. As you guys know, I started law school and had a new baby. There were so many readings for school, and I was getting adjusted still to being a mother of three, breastfeeding, while also attending school full-time, all the things. And I needed to put a pause on reading for extracurriculars. I had to figure out how the heck to read a case. However, I did want us to complete this book. I don't know about y'all, but there have been a lot of times in my life where I have gotten books, I've read it or started to read it, wanted to dive into it for whatever reason, get to like maybe chapter three tops, and then the book just sits and it's never completed. How many of y'all got books that you never completed? And so even though I have read this book before, I still wanted to complete it and also for us to complete it together here on the podcast. If you are new here and you weren't a part of the book club before, I'm going to put all of the previous episodes into the show notes. And the title of the book is Charles Stanley, The Spirit-Filled Life. I'm going to read the summary so that we could all be refreshed. And the link of the book is going to be in the show notes as well. So the summary says, a wise, measured, and deeply passionate invitation to the spirit-filled life. Are you trying your best to be a good Christian, but still feel something's missing? Does the peace and joy you long for seem to elude you? Can following Christ sometimes feel like a lot of work or like it's not working very well? Much has been written about the Holy Spirit and what it means to have Him as an active part of your life. Dr. Charles Stanley cuts through the confusion and teaches the truth about the third person of the Trinity, who is as real and active as God the Father and Christ the Son. Through personal stories, biblical explorations, and insightful explanations, Dr. Stanley helps you discover who the Spirit is and how to develop a relationship with Him, who the Spirit isn't and how to avoid damaging misconceptions, how being filled with the Spirit actually works, what the Bible really teaches about spiritual signs such as speaking in tongues, how the Spirit can increase your capacity for hope, love, and personal transformation, what it means to hear the Spirit's voice, how to make the most of your unique spiritual gifting to build up Christ's body, and what happens when the Spirit's power is unleashed in your workplace, your family, your friendships, and every other area of your life. Don't settle for an ordinary life that lacks power, joy, and meaning. Live the mighty and victorious Christian life that you were created to enjoy. Discover the Spirit-filled life and the gift and the great gift the Father has given you in His Holy Spirit. So the link for you to grab the book is in the show notes, as well as the link for all the other chapters that we have discussed. If you're on the fence about getting the book, I encourage you to. This is one of my top three Christian books of all time. It's one that I feel like we should reread regularly. I would even say around this time at the top of the year, this is a book that you should get and read. If getting closer to the Lord, if living a more spirit-filled life is a part of your 2026 goals, get this book. If growing in your faith, if being a better Christian, if growing in your understanding of the word, getting closer to the Lord is on your list of goals for this year, you need this book. So here's how the remaining episodes of this book club pick is going to go, because I already know the next book that I want us to read. And once I confirm a couple of things, I will let you know on the next episode. But the book is broken up into three parts. Part one is called Looking Up. Part two is called Looking Within. And part three is called Looking Ahead. So far, we have gone over chapters 1 through 10. And we'll pick up this episode on chapters 11 and 12, and then that will allow us to complete part one of the book. Then we're only going to have two more episodes. Before, I was doing like a chapter an episode, but because we've had a little break, and I think it's time for us to wrap it up and move on to the next book, I am going to discuss multiple chapters within an episode. So we got two more in part one, and that'll be today. We will do the first three chapters of part three in the next bonus episode. And then there are three more chapters after that in the following bonus episode. And then that's it. We will move on to our next book. And honestly, this episode is really going to be based off of chapter 11. I feel like chapter 12, which is about being baptized with the Holy Spirit and debunking a lot of the misconceptions, is extremely repetitive of what the whole first part of the book was about. So I personally don't see how different chapter 12 is from the first part. So I'm not even going to review it or discuss it just because it just feels repetitive and we've talked about it a lot. So we're going to focus in today on chapter 11, which is titled Doing God's Work, God's Way. He starts out by referring to the story of Zerubbabel that we see in Zechariah. He says, Zerubbabel was a man called by God to do an important job, namely finish rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. A group of Israelites, including Zerubbabel, had been released from captivity in Babylon and allowed to return home to accomplish the monumental task. They ran into some opposition, however, and abandoned the project. For 15 years, no work was done. Then God spoke specifically through the prophet Zechariah to Zerubbabel and gave him the responsibility of completing the work. God knew that Zerubbabel and his team, like their predecessors, would face opposition. To prepare them for what lay ahead, he gave specific instructions to Zerubbabel through the prophet. And this can be found in Zechariah 4, 5 through 7. It says, So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. That was God's way of saying to Zerubbabel, the work can be completed. There are no immovable obstacles. And when it's finished, there will be great celebration. I'm glad that this chapter started with this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures and one that I recite out loud often to myself as I go through life and doing it the Lord's way. Is whenever I face any type of obstacle, objection, roadblock, whatever the case may be, I remind myself it is not by my might, it is not by my power that I'm going to overcome this, that I'm going to accomplish this, but it is by the Spirit of God. And it is a reminder to myself that I am not building this business or doing life my way. It's His way. And it provides a level of comfort, relief, and it brings the correct perspective and focus. And I think it's so great that we're doing this at the top of the year. I didn't plan that this chapter was going to be at this time. This can only be the Lord that we're picking this up now. However, I want you to keep that same mindset as you think about your goals for 2026, the things you're believing in God for, the things that may be on your vision board, what you have written down to do in your business, in your life and work. Remind yourself and actually put this text or this scripture on your vision board, on all the places that these goals are, wherever it is that you read and you reference frequently, to remind yourself that whatever it is not by your might, it is not by your power, but it is by His Spirit. And there will be a lot of temptation for us to do it in our might and our power. There will be a lot of problems that will come up that we want to solve in our might and our power. But self-sufficiency is the opposition. So anytime that we feel like we can then go and do something ourselves and be in control, that is a reminder that your focus needs to be, first, that you should repent. And secondly, that your focus needs to be shifted to what really matters and who is really in control. I highlighted, especially here, where Charles Stanley said, God knew that Zerubbabel and his team would face opposition. So to prepare them for what lay ahead, he sent instructions through the prophet. God knew, and so God prepared. God didn't eliminate the opposition. And this is where a lot of us get stuck, where we're building these businesses and we knew that the Lord called us to it, and we've faced some type of struggle, then we start to question, why God? Why me? Why am I not getting the clients? Why are my videos not getting viewed? Why is my podcast not getting listened to? Why am I not making any money? Why am I putting in all this effort and I'm doing it for you and I'm not getting the results? Why? This text for me is a reminder that we may not ever know the why. And focusing on the why is a waste of time, quite frankly. We just need to understand that God knows that we will face opposition. Some of it self-imposed, but that's a whole nother podcast. God knows when we will face opposition, and he will prepare us for it. We have the benefit of his word. So we have so many ways in which we are prepared based on what the Bible says. And on top of having the word of God, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who will also prepare us. So as you go about building and doing the things this year, remember that when opposition comes, when disappointment comes, don't put yourself in a position where you're stewing over why and stewing over the disappointment. Keep top of mind that God knows and that God will prepare you. Simple. And if God chooses not to forewarn you, as he did in this text, he will still be with you. And that is something to celebrate as well. So wherever you have your goals and things written for the new year and your business plans, everything, write Zechariah 4:5-7 to remind yourself to go back to this text and be encouraged. The author then brings up Colossians 3:23-24, which says, whatever you do, do work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you serve. And again, that's Colossians 3:23-24. Paul, who wrote this, defined the Lord's work as whatever you do. Because we are servants of God, everything we do is considered part of that service. God makes no distinction between what is religious and what is secular. We are to consider him our employer regardless of our place of employment. Just as our earthly employers pay us a wage, Paul said, God will as well. Paul went on to say that our eternal reward is in some way tied to our performance on our jobs. And we've talked about that plenty of times on the podcast. He also says, isn't it true that we all need the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill our vocational responsibilities? Every time we pray for someone who is about to have surgery, what do we pray? Lord, guide the hands of the surgeon. When a woman loses a job, how do we pray? Lord, provide her with a job of your choice where she can be used to glorify you. A salesman who has the opportunity to open a large account will likely request prayers for wisdom. When Christians do an exceptional job in their lines of work, there is always an opportunity for them to share the glory with God. I thought this was an important point because there are so many types of businesses, right? The show is for people who are entrepreneurs. There are so many different types of businesses that you can start. Some where your faith can be more loud and free. Others where you have to be more discreet. If you work in an area like education, you may not be able to pray or talk about scripture in that environment. If you work somewhere else that's a bit more secular or corporate, you're not able to be as freely about your beliefs as in other places that may be more skewed towards ministry, where it's easy for you to just talk freely about scripture, about the Holy Spirit and all the things. And I read this excerpt because he talked about how whatever it is that you do, there's always an opportunity to share the glory with God. I always use Chick-fil-A as an example because Chick-fil-A isn't, they're a Christian company and they're known to be a Christian company. And there are obvious ways that they are. They're closed on Sundays, things of that nature. But they're not overtly churchy. There aren't scriptures on the bags or anything like that. But the way in which they show and glorify the Lord is through a reputation of excellent customer service, treating God's people well. Whenever you go into the place, there's worship music playing, usually the instrumental, so you don't hear the words. But if you listen to gospel and contemporary Christian music, you'll recognize the songs. This episode is brought to you by IXL. The holidays are behind us, the kids are settled back into school routines, and IXL helps them refresh what they learned in the fall and head into a new semester feeling confident and prepared. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math, building writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. It covers math, language arts, science, social studies from pre-K all the way through 12th grade with interactive content that's personalized, engaging, and actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep kids motivated as they head into the second half of the school year. We use IXL in my house daily. My son loves how interactive and fun the interface is. It makes him feel like he's playing a game. It's also so user-friendly that oftentimes I'll tell him, hey, give me 3 IXL lessons, and he'll go grab his tablet and he can get them done without my help. I love that I have a gifted child, so I always like to challenge him to take him above his kindergarten grade level. And I love that IXL is able to adjust with us and build on his strengths and improve upon areas that he can grow in. IXL saves us both time and money. One subscription gets you everything. It's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. I know for me, I'm a mom of 3, and that is very important. And if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Marley Spoon. Every year, I make these goals to get better with my meal planning, but something always goes awry because my life just needs flexibility. So what finally clicked for me is that I realized that meals don't have to look one specific way. They just have to fit your life. That's what Marley Spoon does really well. What I love is that Marley Spoon actually adapts with you. Some nights you cook, some nights you heat, and some nights you just need dinner done really fast. They've got options for all of it, so that means it fits your schedule, not the other way around. Now, I'm a foodie, so flavor and variety is a must for me. And what I love is that they give you over 100 recipes to choose from each week. We're talking comforting classics like the chicken mayonnaise and cucumber arugula salad to fresh, balanced dishes like everything bagel salmon and truffle chive potatoes and green beans, all made with quality ingredients. And there's something for whatever you have a taste for. Marley Spoon has tons of options in their marketplace, from meal shortcuts and drinks to fresh groceries that you can add on each week. And for those nights where you need dinner ASAP, Marley Spoon's prepared meals are exactly what they sound like: convenient, delicious, and on the table in minutes. This is a lifesaver for me if I have a lot of studying to do, a long day, and I just don't feel like cooking. You'll find these on every weekly menu, and if you've got a few extra minutes, they have some great 20-minute options too. My personal favorite hack is those tray-bake dinners. You literally just throw everything on one tray, boom, you're done. And they even include the actual tray. My favorite meal from Marley Spoon was this falafel pita. I was in the middle of cooking and organizing things for the new year, and I was hungry. I wanted something fresh, wanted something fast. And the falafel pita was perfect. It was done in 20 minutes. And what was even better is it's husband proof. My husband is not a great cook whatsoever, but he was able to make it and it was delicious thanks to their easy to follow instructions. This year, fast track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/blessed for up to 25 free meals. This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite brands as a mom of three, Bobby's. Bobby's USDA organic, European-inspired infant formulas were created by moms who couldn't find a formula that met their standards, so they decided to make one themselves. Like the moms who started Bobby, I found it so difficult by the time I had my second son to find formula that met the clean label standards that I was looking for. I had used other brands in the past with my oldest son, but I was not satisfied at all. I couldn't pronounce some of the things on the label. I wasn't confident that I was giving my son the best nutrition, and it was very frustrating. And that led me down the rabbit hole of finding a better formula. And that's how I actually came across Bobby. I love that they had a full suite of recipes along with their certifications. They were USDA Organic, EU Organic, Clean Label Project Purity Award, and Clean Label Project Certified Pesticide Free. They had awards such as their Baby List 2025 Top Choices Organic Formula and being named a 2025 Top Choice by Consumer Reports. As a mom who combo fed, I also loved how inclusive they were. And they supported all feeding journeys, whether breastfeeding, combo feeding, or exclusively using formula. So after all of this research, I knew that Bobby was the formula that I wanted to use with my children. And best of all, my son loved it. We didn't have all of the issues that we had with previous brands. And now that I have a new baby, I know that should I ever need or want to use formula, Bobby will be my go-to any of their products. If you want to feed with confidence too, head to HiBobby.com. That's HiBobby.com to find the formula trusted by parents and loved by their babies, 700,000 and counting. There are people that I know who work in the medical field who are Christian, and they always pray before going in to see a patient, and they ask the Holy Spirit to use them beyond their medical expertise. And that has led them to being able to identify diagnoses that have been overlooked by other professionals, that allows them to speak with the patient and connect with the patient to where the patient feels seen and heard and valued. That's how they glorify God in what they do. I have a professor who I know is a believer based upon just research, and she's the head of the Christian Legal Society, or the advisor of the Christian Legal Society at my school. That's how I connected that she was a Christian. But outside of that, there's something special about the way in which she teaches that I believe is an indicator that she is a believer as well. She teaches with a level of humility, grace, joy, and love for us as individual students that I believe is driven by her beliefs, and they stand out. She is obviously a light, and I recognized this before I even realized that she's a believer, but she's never once told us her beliefs in class, and so that her disposition, her demeanor, her approach to how she does her job glorifies the Lord. And so I want you to keep this in mind if you struggle with how do I show up at my job? How do I build this business that isn't quote unquote churchy in a way that glorifies God? You can still do that. And you do it by simply living in a way that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. How you show up in your job, in your work, in your business will just be an overflow of that disposition. And you glorifying God in what you do will be obvious at that point. The author goes on to say, I'm afraid that the devil has fooled many of us into believing that there are spiritual versus secular components in our lives. Any division we may perceive between God's work and our jobs is a false one. When you are saved by grace, God saved all of you. Once the Holy Spirit came to live inside you, you became a spiritual being. Every facet of your physical life is an expression of the spiritual. You are not two people. The spirit-filled life reaches into every area of your life, including your occupation. In fact, except for your home, your job is a place where the Holy Spirit is needed the most. One reason so many Christians are not happy in their careers is that they don't view their occupations as God's work. They see them as jobs. They love teaching Sunday school. They love working with young people. They wish that they were in ministry full time, but they hate their jobs. They fail to see their primary ministry is their jobs. And in our case as entrepreneurs, our businesses. We don't need more full-time Christian workers in the church. We need more full-time Christian workers in the marketplace with the people who need to hear the truth. Please don't use church work as an excuse to escape from the ministry God has chosen for you. Some people you rub shoulders with every day will never darken the door of a church. You are their only link to the truth. Humanly speaking, you are their only hope. And that is why God put you there. Typing reports, filing records, selling widgets, it's all God's work. Your attitude and excellence on the job are the bridge to someone's heart. Then he goes into the how. He says, there are two ways to approach God's work. The angel described the first way to Zerubbabel like this, not by might nor by power. That's Zechariah 4:6. In other words, the success of this job does not hinge on the things that one would consider essential to get the job done. For Zerubbabel, approaching his task by might and power would have meant procuring enough workers and materials for the job. He would also need sufficient military power to protect his workers. The angel was letting him know up front that there was more to the job than arranging for workers and protection. God wouldn't get any glory out of it if that were all it took. Zerubbabel would get the glory. That was the wrong approach. The first way to do God's work is to do it in the flesh. The work in the flesh is to approach a task, approach your business, with the attitude that God has left us with jobs to do, and he expects us to get in there and get them done. Doing God's work in the flesh boils down to depending on influence, personalities, gifts, natural resources, education, and experience. Past success and the thrill of the challenge become the driving force in a project undertaken in the flesh. The assumption is, I can handle it. And so the man or a woman laboring in the flesh sets about gathering the necessary tools, strategies, and manpower to get the job done. Planning and problem solving are approached by pooling the wisdom of the experts. Human understanding and determination reign supreme, and success is measured in terms of numbers, dollars, and profit margins. He says, I'm not picking on business professionals. Most churches are run the very same way. If men and women know nothing about walking in the spirit, they're going to approach every aspect of life from the standpoint of the flesh. As long as a church committee is chaired by someone who is walking in the flesh, the decisions of that committee are going to be fleshly decisions. Again, there is no secular versus spiritual dichotomy. What men and women are in one place is what they will be everywhere else. I don't mean that they will act the same way, but they will have the same orientation. They will either be in the flesh or in the spirit. I want us to pause and do a check against our approach to our goals so far. Again, we're in January. It's that time where we've made the resolutions, we've made the vision boards, we wrote down the goals, we have the declaration, we have our words for the year, our scriptures for the year, the things that we are believing in God for. As you have gone to work towards those things since the year has started, what has your approach been? Have you gone to researching how to start a business, how to start a podcast, how to insert whatever your goal is? Have you started to research or talk to different experts, people who have been where you are, whether you're talking to them directly, whether you're watching YouTube videos, whether you've signed up for some programs? Have you brainstormed and used AI to help you brainstorm and strategize how to accomplish those goals that you have? Has that been your approach thus far? Let's just take inventory for a second and be honest. If that has been your approach thus far, that is an approach of walking in the flesh. That is an approach of making fleshly decisions and trying to ask God to bless it. That is the opposite of doing business his way. It's doing business your way, spiritualizing it, and saying that it's his way, and it's just simply not true. The process of doing business God's way looks different. It's okay for us to have goals and things that we're believing in God for. Absolutely. Usually, this is what the process looks like for me, and I'm just giving you my experience over the years. There came a time as I grew in my faith and in business where I realized that I was doing this very fleshly and there needed to be an adjustment. And what was fleshly wasn't my heart. I didn't want to build business my way, or I didn't want to be self-serving. But because my foundation was based on me, I had no choice. Everything that followed came from that fleshly space. And so I made a shift maybe a year or so in, where instead of me coming up with all the goals that I had in a new year that I wanted God to bless, I would sit and I would listen to what God's plan was. And then I would go from there. And so every year, I've been doing this for many years at this point, I set aside time. I go somewhere quiet with a whiteboard and I play worship music. I fast. I just honor the Lord and thank him for all that he's done in the previous year or in that current year, because I usually did this around Q4. And I would sit and I say, God, what do you have for me in a new year? And I will wait until I got an answer. And then I will write those things down. Then I would say, okay, God, I would like to do this, or this is something that I'm struggling with and I'm submitting this to you. And I would just be candid about what I wanted, candid about what I've been struggling with and requests that I have. And God would let me know, can I put this on the board for what we're working on in the new year? Or do I need to table it until he says yes? Sometimes I would get an answer about something I was struggling with. Sometimes I wouldn't. And I'll have to just keep waiting until the Lord responded, either responded in prayer or responded in changing a situation. And so once I had the blueprint of what the new year and what I was authorized to go forward in, then I would start the planning. Then I would start saying, okay, God told me to do this. Now, how can I use my wisdom and knowledge and experience and resources to apply it to what he said and not what I want? And even in gathering my resources, how do I protect the disposition of being dependent on him so that I am not transitioning into then still doing business his way? Do you hear how delicate, intentional, sensitive you have to be when doing this? You can't do this quickly because you're just going to go into the flesh. Like, there's no way that you could live a dependent life building a business his way fast. It's not going to happen. But you have to, and the external, when I say quickly, I mean there can't be an internal rush. Externally, things may move fast. It depends. However, your disposition needs to be one to where no matter what's happening around you, you're still operating with sensitivity and dependency on the Lord, and you're flexible to adjust and maneuver or pivot however he sees fit in real time. So for those of you who did this self-inventory, you realize, man, I have started this off in the flesh unintentionally. Now it's time to course correct. Take that vision board, take those goals right back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I came to you with my plan and asked you to bless it, but that's not the proper foundation for me to build things your way and for me to truly live dependently how you called me to build. Forgive me, God. I repent for my actions and my selfishness. Let's wipe the slate clean. I have no goals, Lord. What do you have for me? And you just wait and hear and receive what it is that he has for you. I will tell you that since I made that adjustment, I was accomplishing my goals before I made the adjustment, to be clear. It wasn't like I was failing and then I became successful when I did it this way. Success is pleasing God. Let's be clear with that. So I was successful by worldly standards of business growth and making money and having an upward trajectory. But I was failing because I was not pleasing the Lord, because that's not the way in which He wants us to live. After I made that adjustment and let God determine what the new year was going to bring, there's a level of precision that has happened since then. Precision that is not isolated to business. Precision in how my family operates and how I show up at home. Precision in the decisions that I make. Precision in who I work with and how I work with them and the outcome that comes from that working relationship. Precision in how I am able to impact people, not just in what I do with the podcast or business, but in day-to-day life. There's a level of precision that can only come from the Lord. There have been things that I've gone to Him with. I remember, I want to say last year, where I had went to the Lord because I was getting ready to have the baby. This was in December. So I was about midway through my pregnancy. And then I also knew I would be starting law school in the fall. So I was thinking ahead about things like childcare, because I would have the baby. I have a 2-year-old, and then my 5-year-old would be in school, but I needed childcare for the younger two. Going to law school required me to pull back some from business because I couldn't go full force in my business and commit myself to this journey that God has me on. And so the math wasn't mathing for how I was going to be able to make sure my younger two were cared for in a way that I wanted them to be. Yeah, you have daycares and things like that. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to send my fresh baby into daycare. I considered sending my 2-year-old to the same private school that my son goes to, but that adds up. Him being 2, his tuition is higher. Then I still had to pay for somewhere for the baby to go. It was just a real problem, and I needed money and a real financial answer to that problem. And so that was one of the things that I took to the Lord. And when I took it to Him at the end of the year in preparation for the new year, I didn't get an answer. What I got was simply, He's the Lord and He will provide. And that was just what I had to go with and trust, because that's what the Word said. So then later in the year, as I'm just spending time with Him generally, He gave me the strategy to be able to do what I needed to do. So He showed me, He had me go through my bank statements and everything I had going on in business. We went through it line by line. I got rid of things that I wasn't using. Any money that didn't need to be spent, I didn't spend it. He showed me what money to allocate specifically to childcare. I had like all of my money essentially from my advertisers for the podcast. I put into a high yield savings account every time I got paid out. So now I have these checks coming. I'm putting them into somewhere that they are able to grow in interest, because I have time. Thankfully, going to the Lord about this earlier and planning it ahead is always a strategy of mine personally. I'm not going to strategize or plan for something that's happening next week, today. No, I've been thinking about these things since last year, right? So planning ahead is a best practice for me personally. So because I was planning ahead, I was able to then utilize something like a high yield savings account so that my money can make money while there's still time before I have to actually use it. And so by following the Lord's strategy, by the time I even hired somebody for my children, I had already had their salary for the year put aside. So by the time I started school, I'm not worried about how to maintain certain things in my business so that I can make sure that childcare is paid for, anything like that. No, the Lord provided, and He guided me to a strategy that didn't need or require me to work more. It didn't require me to do more, to strive, to utilize resources, to rob Peter and pay Paul or any of those things. He just said, hey, do this. And this was a worry that I just simply didn't have. Worrying about my kids was something I simply didn't have to do. Worrying about money while taking on this new venture that the Lord has directed me to wasn't something that I had to worry about. By simply just being open to receive what He has to say and suppressing my own urge to solve my problems, Charles Stanley goes on to say, "But wait," you say, "I know some folks who operate in the flesh and they are very successful, but by whose standards? I have been around long enough to see the rise and fall of dozens of men and women who were considered successful by the world. They are like flashes in the pan, or as the psalmist says, they are like chaffs in the wind. From singers to businessmen to pastors, those who walk or work in the flesh will live lives characterized by the deeds of the flesh. And a lifestyle full of that stuff will eventually take its toll. Not overnight, but eventually. No one violates the principles of God and lives to rejoice about it. Be careful, listen up, business folks, be careful about praising those who walk and work in the flesh. Take a long, hard look at the areas of their lives, not just their businesses or their ministries. It's easy to look good in one area. Only the spirit-filled life has the balance necessary to be successful on all fronts." In contrast to that, he says, "If ever a group of men had the ability, talent, experience, and motivation to carry out their assigned tasks, it had to be the disciples. Think about what they had seen. Talk about on-the-job training, not to mention their trainer, Jesus. And yet, with all these advantages, Jesus knew that they weren't ready. Experience, talent, motivation, willingness, training, clear directives, they had them all. But those things weren't enough. They needed the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God wanted his work done his way. The second way to approach God's work is to carry it out under the direction of and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the words of the angel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." When God's work is done God's way, it will bear the unmistakable mark of the Holy Spirit. There will be something unexplainable about it. People will know that what has happened can never be repeated by simply bringing the same components together. The whole is divinely greater than the sum of the parts. People will be moved by the spirit of the work rather than the work itself. God's ultimate goal for man necessitates that his work be done in the spirit. He is out to alter the heart of man to bring about a renewal from the inside out. That cannot be done apart from the influence of the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can transform the spirit of man. Work done in the flesh goes no deeper than the emotions. It may look impressive on the surface, but no one is changed by it. Stirred up, yes. Transformed, no. We see this happen a lot in church settings where if I am taking a recommendation to go somewhere that is a spiritual setting, and the person who referred me to that space is not one whose life is one of dependency on the Lord. And when I say this, I'm not saying a person who has a perfect life, who does all the Christian things. That's not what I'm judging by. I'm judging by, are you someone who has a heart posture to live for the Lord and deny everything about your flesh that works against that? Is that your heart posture? Your actions, I mean, you may still fall into sin and then have to repent. You may have things that you're struggling with. That's not necessarily what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, where is your heart? So I have been referred to many places, especially in my area and looking for a church home. And I'm like, this place you tell me has changed your life, how good it is. You love this place. But there is nothing different or transformed about your heart. You still speak the same way you spoke before you went. You still look the same way that you've looked. And I'm not talking about just the outward appearance. You still look, speak, and act the same way you did prior to going. So where is the actual transformation happening? And these days, there are a lot of Christian settings that are simply just personal development with a little bit of scripture sprinkled on top, but they're not spaces that are truly hospitals where you could go in and be healed because of the way in which the Holy Spirit is active, alive, and submitted to in that space. There's a difference. And so you have to be discerning when we're talking about outside spaces to patronize, but you also have to be discerning and making sure that you as an individual who is cultivating these spaces in your life and your business or whatever it is that you do for the Lord, you are cultivating spaces that are not just stirring up emotions, but are truly orchestrating transformation because you're submitted to the Holy Spirit. He then, the author, gives some approaches to that are the wrong approaches and the correct approaches to doing God's work His way. For the wrong approaches, he says that there are three things that often get passed off as God's way. Number one, praying about it. Doing God's work God's way does not mean simply praying about it. Prayer is essential, but it is not necessarily evidence that one is relying on the Holy Spirit. It may just be the opposite. I've heard a lot of prayers that were nothing more than an attempt to get God to help someone accomplish something in the flesh. That is one reason God gets so much attention at the beginning of a project and so little credit at the end. When we work in the flesh, we forget to express our appreciation. Prayer becomes a formality. It's just something that we do. The second wrong way is desperation. God's way is not working ourselves to death and then throwing up our hands and saying, I give up. Please take over. I can't do it anymore. That's desperation. And usually it's a desperate cry for God to get us out of a mess that we have created or complicated by attempting to do His work our way. The third wrong approach is the let go and let God approach. He says, to be honest, I'm not really sure what people mean when they say this, but it makes me uncomfortable. God has chosen to do His work through men and women. He has gifted each of us for a specific task. We are His means to His end. To let go and let God implies that we play no part at all. The scripture clearly illustrates that we have a very important role in fulfilling God's will on the earth. In contrast, he lists out some approaches that are doing God's work His way. The first one is, you are convinced that if God doesn't come through, your project is doomed to failure. The greatest achievement recorded in scripture were accomplished through men and women who were convinced of their dependency on God. Read their prayers. God loves to hear His children confess their dependency on Him. He gave Psalm 56, 1 through 4 as an example. I'm not going to read it, but write that down because these are the things that you should be doing this year as you either course correct, starting off in the flesh, or continue through doing His work His way. He says the people who do God's work His way don't wait until their efforts fail before they begin trusting Him. They begin their projects as dependent people. And in most cases, they maintain their dependent spirits to the end. On occasions, when they do begin trusting in their own strength, God always lets them fall flat on their face. A self-sufficient spirit is not evidence of self-sufficiency. It is evidence of stupidity. There are no self-sufficient people. None of us have control over our entries into this world, the next breath we take while we're here, or our hours of departure. We are dependent in every sense of the word. I begin every morning with a confession of my dependency on Christ. Before my feet hit the floor, I let Him know that He already knows. I can't make a right move without Him. From my position as pastor to my role as a father, grandfather, citizen, and friend, I need Him. The only way to ensure that I am fulfilling the responsibilities He has given me, His way, is to approach them from the standpoint of complete dependency. The second approach, you see God as your only source for everything that you need. To do God's work God's way, we must view Him as the ultimate source of all we need. And then he provided Psalm 91 here. God will use various people and resources to provide for us, but He is the source. Remembering that is key to staying dependent. We have a tendency to confuse the gift with the giver. It is easy to get our eyes focused on the provision rather than the provider. When that happens, our loyalties and trust shift as well. We begin seeking things and people rather than God, and without realizing it, we become idolaters. God is the source of everything that you need. Your children, job, spouse, and friends are only tools that He uses to meet the needs in your life. He, however, is the source. Any or all of these things could disappear tomorrow, but your needs will not go unmet, for nothing can separate you from the source. 3, you look for evidence of the Spirit's intervention. The reason we don't look for evidence of God's intervention is that we don't really believe we need it. We plan and pray as if the power of God is reserved for missionaries and preachers. As long as we think our lives don't demand intervention, we will do God's work our way in our strength. 4, you're not stressed out. The most striking characteristic of men and women who are doing God's work His way is their lack of stress. At times it comes across as a lack of concern, but that's not the case at all. Believers who are walking in the Spirit are going to experience peace. Peace and stress cannot coexist. One will replace the other. When we are convinced that God is going to come through for us, stress disappears. And lastly, 5, you spend more time thanking and praising God than requesting things from Him. The men and women God uses do a great deal of more thanking than asking. When we do God's work God's way, we won't wake up every morning begging and pleading. We will begin by thanking. True dependency and trust will always erupt in praise. Doubt will constantly dwindle to groveling and bargaining. Okay, God, if you come through for me this time, I'll never. God cannot be bribed, and He certainly isn't honored when our relationship is reduced to bartering. He loves praise. Nothing honors God like praising Him for what He promised before the promise is fulfilled. This is the ultimate expression of faith. So let's recap. These are characteristics of individuals who are doing God's work His way. And if these are not descriptive of you, then that might be an indicator that you are operating in the flesh. The first was you are convinced that if God doesn't come through, your project is doomed to failure. The second was you see God as your only source for everything you need. The third was you look for evidence of the Spirit's intervention. The fourth was you're not stressed out. And the fifth is you spend more time thanking and praising God than requesting things from Him. In closing, he says, judge yourself. So would you say that you are doing God's work His way or your way? Are you operating in His strength or yours? If you are like me, you probably go back and forth. I have found that nothing is accomplished by operating in my own strength. I end up working against myself. Stress depletes my energy. I begin seeing people and resources as a means to my ends. My prayers become a shopping list, and everything seems to move in slow motion. But on those days when I'm walking and working in the Spirit, things are different. There is a sense of excitement as I look for God to intervene. The pressure rides about 2 inches off my shoulders. I am free to love people rather than use them. My prayers are filled with thanksgiving and praise. I get more done in less time, and I don't worry about what I don't finish. Sounds easy? It's not, but it is far easier than working in my own strength. I want to encourage you to write those 5 characteristics down and put them somewhere you will see them often. Check yourself throughout the day and begin doing God's work God's way. I think that's a great place to end. I believe it's practical and it's appropriate for this time of year when many of us are making plans and getting started on the goals and things that we have. So make sure you get this book. The link is going to be in the show notes. We have 2 more episodes where we're going to finish off the last part, and then we'll go to our next book club pick from there. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.